We've been looking at from Scripture some of the riches. We'll never get them all. In fact, that's a lifetime pursuit to find them all from Scripture that we have at initial salvation. We've spent a lot of time on regeneration, the new birth, where we get a new life, we get a new spiritual father, we get a new family, we get a new a lot of stuff, regeneration, we get a new mind. And then we looked at baptism of the Holy Spirit. That's over in 1 Corinthians 12:13, where we're baptized into the body of Christ. And we become, in the God the Father's mind, part of the body of Christ, with Christ as the head. Now, I'm going to say this, and then we'll look to the Lord in communication. The reason spirit baptism is so important for Christians, it's not an unsaved person's doctrine, is that spirit baptism is one way that God imputes or counted so or reckons to us many of the benefits of Christ's death on the cross. That Christ paid for a lot of things on the cross. Christ's cross work, I think there's 26 things that are the result that we can find in Scripture of Christ's work on the cross. But the way a lot of it gets applied to us is by spirit baptism, and that's why we're looking at it from Scripture. Again, this is spiritual truth for Christians. Actually, it's for spiritual Christians and not for the unsaved. Talking about the new family of God. Our Father, we do thank you for your word. We do appreciate the fact that even yet in our country we can gather together in relative peace and we don't have to be subject to physical harm or threat or peril. And we thank you for that, and we'd ask that that continue, and we'd ask as we look in your word that we focus on what you are saying and communicating to us through your word, and we'll be giving you the thanks. Amen. Now, I'm not going to go to the verses, but this is over in Romans 5, and this is just quick review. Christ died twice on the cross. He died spiritually for 3 hours, and the spiritual death was spiritual separation from the Father in the realm of his humanity. According to Romans 5:18-19, the reason he had to die spiritually is because all men and women's were constituted as sinners, have a sin nature based on the fact that Adam determined to sin. In other words, Adam's trespass, his determination to sin, caused the passing on in all of mankind, except for one person, that's Jesus Christ himself. Every human being is conceived with a sin nature. Sin nature is called nature in Ephesians 2:3. It's called a sin principle in Romans, the 7th chapter. It's also called the flesh in Romans, the 7th chapter, because that's where the sin principle is housed. So when Christ died on the cross, this reason this is important, is when we get to Romans, the 6th chapter, and the 2nd and 3rd verses where it says we're baptized into his death, we got to figure out, are we baptized into his spiritual death or his physical death? Because when we get to the 11th verse, we have to reckon ourselves to be dead to the sin nature. And so what we did was deal with the fact that Christ died spiritually for 3 days, 3 hours rather, and that spiritual death was in the realm of his humanity. He was separated from the Father. Remember, death is separation. And then, let's go to that verse. It's in 2 Peter. Go to 2 Peter, and I'm not going to spend a lot of time on it, but I'm just going to refresh your memory on one concept, that just as Jesus on the cross says it is finished, his 3 hours of separation from the Father are finished, his spiritual death is finished, and then soon as he says it is finished or complete, then he on the cross says, into thy hands I release my spirit. What that meant was, just as he came alive again spiritually, he then died physically. This is in one of these Peters. It's got to be 1 Peter. The Peters get mixed up. It's 1 Peter, 3rd chapter, verse 18. What I want you to see, the way I read it, I don't want to spend a lot of time here because this is repeat. When Christ died physically, he was made alive. Just before he died physically, he was made alive spiritually. In other words, he was rejoined to the Father in the realm of his humanity. 1 Peter 3:18. For Christ also hath once suffered generally regarding sins, the just one for unjust ones, that he might bring to us to God, that would be to God the Father, being put to death on one hand in the flesh, but made alive in the other hand in the lowercase spirit. Now, you have by which, it should be in which spirit, the which there in the original language is neuter, spirit is neuter. In which spirit he, Christ, went and preached to spirits in prison. So now that he's back in relationship with God the Father in the realm of his humanity, he's going to go down to the upper sheol and he's going to preach to the fallen, the incarcerated principalities and powers. Now, what we're trying to show you then is that he died spiritually for 3 hours, and just at the end of that 3 hours, he's made alive physically, made alive, he comes back alive spiritually, and then he dies physically. Let me unconfuse what I just said. Adam trespassed. He determined to sin. That bent his nature, which he passed on to all human beings. That bent nature has to be paid for. Romans, the 6th chapter. Now, you might want to mark this because it takes quite a little bit of understanding to get this verse. Romans, the 6th chapter, and the 10th verse is talking about that spiritual death. And the reason we know that is because that spiritual death is related to the sin nature. In this context, it's the sin. Romans 6:10, for that he, Christ, died, he died. Now this is his spiritual death unto the sin. That would be the sin nature in this context, because we've read verse 11. Once, but that in he lives unto God. So when he was, after he came back alive spiritually in the realm of his humanity, he's alive spiritually even when his body dies. As he goes to upper sheol, he's alive spiritually in the realm of his humanity, and that allows him to proclaim to the spirit beings. Now, that's spiritual death in Christ. Now we're going to deal with Christ's physical death on the cross. That's the one most people do understand. Now, the reason he had to die physically, now this all goes back, and I forgot to reiterate it, it all goes back to one for one. Adam, we are considered to have a sin nature. We have a sin nature because of Adam. When Adam's sin nature is paid for, that one for one payment pays for our sin nature. Got it? Now I'm going to show you that we die physically because Adam's sin act. When Adam's sin act is paid for by the last Adam, then our sin acts are paid for. Got it? Because we're counted to have sinned in Adam. This is contrary to almost all theology that's taught in all of Christendom, so I want you to get it. In Romans, the 5th chapter, we're going to look at the 12th through 14th verses. Now, if you don't get anything else, get this. We die physically because, no, let's do it right. Our bodies die, and that's physical death, because of Adam's sin, not because of our personal sins. Now, having said that, you can go out here and be a tweaker, what do they call it, meth head, and quicken the life cycle, But even a meth head, although they make their life cycle quicker, still is participating in the life cycle because of Adam's sin. I'm going to prove that to you today. What I'm saying is we are all subject, this is in Romans the 9th chapter, or Hebrews the 9th chapter, it says all men are subject to death, except one generation. And the reason for that is because Adam sinned. That's what we're going to prove. However, personal sins can cause the life cycle to be a little more rapid. Go out here and step in front of a bus and tell me I'm not right. Okay, Romans the 5th chapter and the 12th verse. Now remember, we went to 1 Corinthians 15. The first Adam is the one man that is counted that the problems come from, and the second Adam, or the last Adam, I think he's called the second Adam and the last Adam, Christ is where all the problems get solved. That's a good way to remember it. Romans the 5th chapter and the 12th verse. Wherefore by one man, who would that be? That's Adam. The sin entered into the world. Be careful. Adam wasn't the first person to sin. Satan was. So the word world here, I'm teaching you something. The word world has different meanings. This is talking about the world of mankind. Remember, Satan was already there, had already fallen when Adam and Eve fell. So this is talking about the world of mankind. The world of mankind came through Adam. And death, now we have to figure out, whenever you see the word death, and we're going to need this over in Romans 6, we always want to figure out, is it talking about spiritual death or physical death? Whenever we see the word life, we want to know whether it's talking about spiritual life or physical life. And actually, there's a split off of that. Is that door locked back there? It is. Which is a good thing to do. But the one we need locked is that one out here, and I can monitor that one. So, wherefore, by one man, the sin entered into the world, and death, this is the process of physical death, by the sin. Now, the word by is strong there. It's dia, means the agency for physical death came by Adam's sin. Now, I'm going to prove that to you. Let's go back to Genesis, the first chapter. Genesis, the first chapter. Is it the first chapter? I think it might be the second chapter. Genesis. God tells Adam. In the second chapter, in the 17th verse. Don't eat of the fruit of the knowledge of good and evil. I should mention that in the Garden of Eden, there were all kinds of other trees they could eat. I don't know how many, but I know it was as many as they could ever handle. And that fruit had a different component in it in terms of, well, things were different. Verse 17, the second chapter of Genesis. This is God talking to Adam. But of the tree of the knowledge of knowing, the tree of knowing what brings happiness and what brings calamity, you, Adam, shall not eat of it, for the day that you eat thereof, dying you shall die. There's a reference to two levels of life there. And what will happen is that they'll begin to die physically. They'll immediately be separated from God, which is what? Spiritual death. They will, in the short term, be separate. Their body will begin to die, and they will be separated from their body. I think with Adam, it's 930 years later. Okay. Now I'm going to show you something that gets people upset, but to stay with me, we got the verses. Go to the third chapter. The reason Adam dies physically is because he sinned from God's mind. The way or the method that God carries it out is he doesn't allow him to partake of the fruit. Now, I'm going to read the verse, it says, and I'm going to say something. Adam, if Adam would have been alive, and I got the verse that says it. If Adam would have been allowed to stay in the garden and partake of the fruit, you could be talking to him today. Well, let's read the verse. Third chapter of Genesis and the 22nd verse. Now, part of having a sin nature is having a corrupt conscience, and a corrupt consciousness tells you that what brings you happiness and what brings you calamity. Now, what brings you happiness and calamity in the realm of your sin nature is completely different from what God wants. Do you see? So Adam set up his own rules by having a sin nature, and thanks a lot giving it to us, as opposed to God's rules or criteria would be better. Third chapter of Genesis, the 22nd verse. And the Lord God said, behold, Adam. I want to say this. Every time I read in Genesis, you'll hear me say this. The word man should always be translated Adam until about the fourth verse in the fifth chapter, okay? You know what the word man, this word for man is in the Old Testament? Adam. Okay. There is another word for man in the Old Testament, ish, but this is Adam. So translated Adam. And the Lord God said, behold, Adam has become as us. Wait a minute. There's no Trinity in the Old Testament. But the language of the Old Testament allows the doctrine of the Trinity in the New Testament to be harmonious with the Old Testament. Isn't that neat? As become as one of us to know what brings happiness and what brings calamity. And now lest he put forth his hand and take of the fruit, the tree of life, and keep on eating. It's a In the original language of Hebrew, there's only two tenses. There's a perfect and an imperfect. And this has the idea of continuing. And keep on eating and live and keep on living forever. So next verse, God says, wait a minute. I'm going to penalize Adam because I told him he would die immediately spiritually and he would begin dying physically. And here's how God does it. Therefore, the Lord God sent him forth from the Garden of Eden to till the ground from which it was taken. So he drove Adam out the Adam, and he placed him east of the garden of Eden, the cherubim and a flaming sword which turned every way to keep the way of the tree of life. So Adam couldn't eat of the tree anymore. Now that brings us back to Romans, the fifth chapter. So that from God's point of view, the reason people die, let's do it, let's be real careful. The reason our bodies die and age is because Adam sinned. The way God carried that out is he kicked him out of the garden, away from the tree of evil. Or the tree of life, rather. Romans, the fifth chapter and the 12th verse. Therefore, by one man, Adam, the sin entered into the world. And the process of death through intermediate agency, that sin. So that the process of death passed upon all men. Now, you have in the King James for that, it's an epehu, which I would probably translate it upon the basis of or because of. Epe who? Upon whom? But on the basis of, okay, let's go back. The process of death passed upon all mankind on the basis of whom, that would be Adam, all sinned. Well, I wasn't in the garden. I didn't sin in the garden, but because Adam sinned and because he passed on the propensity to sin, every human being except Christ is counted by God to have sinned in Adam. That's so important because when Christ on the cross pays for Adam's sin, mine gets paid for. See how that works? The one for one. Why this is so important, there are many people who don't understand that Christ didn't just die for the sins of Christians. And in fact, in a way, I don't want to get sidetracked, one of the benefits of Christ's death affects Satan. There's a benefit for Satan in Christ's death. Did you know that? That because Christ's death paid for all sin acts, even Satan is not counted as an enemy by God. Now, Satan counts God an enemy, but God has no hostility towards Satan because Christ paid for all sins. Oh, there's a whole lot more than just mankind involved in this, okay? Now, let's go. Verse 4:13. For until a quality of law, this isn't talking about the Mosaic law, and I'm going to show you this. This is talking about rules. Now, we're going to trace this. When Adam and Eve were created, God gave them one major rule. What was the rule? That's a law. Don't eat of the tree of good and evil. From Adam's command from God, clear on up to Exodus the 19th chapter, there are no rules in that sense by God that he counts as sin. Adam sinned by breaking God's rule. And after Exodus the 19th chapter, when you broke the law, you sinned against God and transgressed the law. Now what we're going to do is we're going to talk about the time after Adam's sin up to Exodus the 19th chapter when Moses comes in. That's in these next verses. It's a very unique time. For until equality of law was in the world, but sin was not imputed, there's our word, logically counted, reckoned, or reckoned, imputed, or counted, when there is no law. So what he's saying is there's a rule set by God. Now, this is really bothers people. People think that everything wrong is sin, particularly stuff you don't like. That's a sin. And what I'm trying to do is to show you that sin is sin when God says it's sin. Now, there's going to be a quality of sin happening. And if I remember right, it's 1,500 years or 2,500 years. 2,500 years. There's a quality of sin in the world from Adam up until Moses in the 19th chapter of Exodus. But God's going to say, I don't count it as sin. Because who defines sin? God. Let's read the verse. For until law, sin was in the world, a quality of sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed where there's no quality of law. So what it's saying is there were no rules that God said, if you break these rules, it's a sin, after the garden and clear up until the law. Now, if your mind works like mine, you're going to say, wait a minute. When Noah and his three sons and daughter-in-laws and wife got off the ark, didn't God give them some rules? But let's go back and see what those rules are. Let's go to Genesis, the 9th chapter. Genesis, the 9th chapter. And this would be these would be during the time when there was a quality of sin, but it wasn't counted as sin. Now, before anybody gets too upset, I'm going to prove to you what we are proving is God punishes more than just sin. Sin is not the only thing God punishes. Okay? This is the rules God gives Noah after he gets off the ark. Genesis, the 9th chapter. And God blessed Noah and his sons and said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. And the fear, now you're going to have a change in the relationship of man and animals, which means it didn't occur before this. And the fear of you and the dread of you shall be upon every beast of the earth and upon every fowl of the air. So the flight instinct, and they use that for land animals too, of all animals didn't happen before this. So the soul of every animal was given an instinct for survival, to stay away from men. Let's do it that way. Upon all that moveth upon the earth, and upon all the fishes, different species of the sea, and into your hand are they delivered. I should mention, when we read this, that they were all vegetarian prior to this. Every moving thing that liveth shall be meat for you, even as the green herb I have given unto you all things. But flesh, except blood, with the life thereof, which is blood, thereof shall be not eat. These are things strangled. And now here's a rule. And surely your blood of your lives I will require at the hand of every beast I will require it, and at the hand of man. At the hand of every man's brother will I require the life of man. Whoso sheddeth the man's blood, this is murder, this isn't self-defense, by man. So the penalty here is by man, not by God. Do you see this? By man shall his blood be shed. Let me ask you something. Does God believe in capital punishment? You know, one time I was talking with a relative, and I'll never forget, she got red in the face when I was defending capital punishment. And what made her red is I said, "Oh, you don't believe in capital punishment, so you're better than God, huh?" Kind of shut the argument down. But this would be one place to come here. Shed, for in the image of God made he Adam. Now, what this is saying then is that man is different than animals. You can go kill any animal you want, eat them, but don't eat men, okay? That's kind of what's going on here. But I want you to see that the penalties of breaking this are by humans. There's no other penalties mentioned except for taking a human's life. Got it? Verse 7, be fruitful. Now, this is the one that they disobey. And it doesn't say that there's a consequence, but he will give it. Be fruitful and multiply and swarm forth abundantly in the earth and multiply therein. So immediately, when God says spread out, and at this time all the earth was flat, I know, flat earther, all the earth was flat and it was all inhabitable, every square inch, except for the places where there was water. And he says spread out. And so immediately mankind says, hey, we like each other, let's stay together. And they all congregated together, and they built a tower so that they could observe the zodiacs. They didn't call them that, and the constellations. And the reason they wanted to observe and to worship the constellations is because they knew that's where some supernatural stuff had come from back in the sixth chapter. And so God says, okay, you guys want to get together, and I'm telling you to spread out. So he makes them speak all kinds of languages. It says in the 11th chapter, they spoke one language. And after they spread out, because when you don't speak language of let's put it this way. If you have a language different than the people that you're with, you will seek the people that speak the same language as you. And so they spread out. And when they spread out, God says, okay, now that you're spread out, we're going to rip the continents apart. And that took place within one guy's lifetime, where the continents were ripped apart, and that's how you got mountains and all kinds of stuff that happened. But what I'm showing you here is that God judged the unrighteousness, but it wasn't counted as sin. Now, turn over to Romans, the first chapter, and this makes this verse sound make sense. Romans, the first chapter, and the 18th verse. Now, watch out, there's no article here. For a quality of anger, this is the word anger, of God, Romans 1:18, is revealed from heaven against all unrighteousness, against all ungodliness and unrighteousness. And in this context, it's talking about people who violate the natural order of reproduction. And what it's saying is that God judges and will, and not during this dispensation, but in the past and will in the future, punish unrighteousness. So now let's go back to the 5th chapter and the 14th verse. Let's see if we've got this now. The 13th verse. Romans 5:13. For until a law, a quality of sin was in the world, but sin was not counted where there was no law. Well, we know that that stopped when it got to Exodus the 19th chapter, because then when they broke the law, there was sin. I want to be very careful here. So from Adam's fall up to Exodus 19 chapter, people acted like people and they had acts of sin. But God says, I'm not going to count it as sin. And in the verse 14 is going to tell us why. Nevertheless, the process of death reigned as a king from Adam to Moses. You remember I kept saying Exodus 19? Because I was talking about Moses. So from Adam up to Moses, people, human bodies died. Why did it die? Well, practically because they can't eat of the tree of life. But from God's point of view, it's because they all were guilty of Adam's sin. Back in verse 12. Nevertheless, the death process reigned as a king from Adam until Moses, even over them that had not sinned after the likeness of Adam's transgression, because Adam had a law he transgressed. A law is a rule that has consequences. Remember all those rules he gave in the 9th chapter? They weren't consequences from God there. Let me set that up again. Adam's told not to eat of the tree of life. If you do eat of the tree of life, you're going to die. Nobody is given consequences from God from Adam up in the Exodus 19 chapter. In Exodus 19 chapter, God says if you break the first 7 commandments, you're going to die. But God still had consequences for unrighteousness. You got it? What did he do? He separated the people with language. What did he do? He separated the people with continents. So one of the things I'm trying to give you today is God punishes unrighteousness, not just sin. Nevertheless, the death process reigned as a king from Adam until Moses, even over them that had not sinned after the likeness, because following that they couldn't sin because there was no law to transgress, who is the type of him that was coming. Who's the him that is coming? Christ. That's the second or last Adam. Let's do a real short synopsis. Every problem we got goes back to Adam. Every rectification and satisfying the problems in Adam come from Christ. It's a one-for-one transference. It's a one-for-one propitiation. Now, what I just tried to show you is physical death comes from Adam's sin act. Spiritual death comes from Adam's trespass or determining to sin. There's a difference. Now, Adam's sin act is paid for. Adam's sin act is paid for by Christ. And we can go, there's a lot of places we can go. Let's go over to the 3rd chapter of the book of Romans, and then we'll go to 1 John. 3rd chapter of the book of Romans. In this verse, the word propitiatory means a place of satisfaction, and it's to God the Father. And the reason God the Father is satisfied that the sin is paid for is because of Christ's death. And another word you need to know when we read Romans, the 3rd chapter and the 24th verse, justify or justification is simply the concept of being declared righteous by God. Verse 24, 3rd chapter of Romans. Being declared righteous, free, as a free gift, by His, God the Father's grace, through the complete unloosing that is in Christ Jesus, in whom Christ, God the Father, has set forth to be the place of satisfaction through faith. So what causes God to be satisfied with Rich Schaefer? According to this verse, through faith. Now you have in your King James, I think in, but it's by his blood. Now when you see the word blood, I'm setting you up for something. When you see the concept of blood, which death would that be talking about? Christ's physical death. When you see the concept of burial, what would that be talking about? Christ's physical death. When you see resurrection, that would be talking about Christ's physical death. Got it? Okay. So our physical life, participation in the life cycle and eventual physical body dying, if we're not the live generation at the rapture, is because Adam sinned. Christ dying on the cross, because his blood paid for that sin, pays for Adam's sin, then it can be attributed to me. How does it get attributed to me? Romans, the sixth chapter. How does Christ's death, burial, get attributed to me? Romans, the sixth chapter. Let me go back and say what I started with. The baptism of the Holy Spirit is one way God the Father attributes, counts, imputes, reckons, all those kind of synonyms, the benefits of Christ's work on the cross to us. It doesn't just stay with Christ. It gets imputed to us. Romans, the sixth chapter, first verse. Therefore, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in the sin? That's, if you bark in your Bible, put an N there. That's the sin nature. And the idea of continuing would be the propensity to sin, which is a sin bent. That grace may abound. Don't say that. How shall we that are dead to the sin nature live any longer therein? The sin nature. How is a Christian dead to the sin nature? Verse 11, in our mind of Christ. We'll get there. Let me do it another way. We're dead to the sin nature in our mind of Christ when we use it correctly, the 11th verse. What death is that talking about here? Why am you being... Okay, I have heard people teach when you get to the 11th verse, you count yourself spiritually dead and to the sin nature. And I'm telling you, that's big time trouble. Because when you talk about burial down here in the third verse, what death of Christ are you talking about? His physical death. Now, death means separation. That's all it means. God, verse 2, don't say that you use your sin nature to its extent. How shall we that are dead to the sin nature live any longer therein? We'll get to the verse 11. Verse 3, don't you know, is really, don't be ignorant that so many of you that were baptized, this is spirit baptism, into, this is direction, into ice, Christ Jesus. If you haven't changed that in your Bible, change it. It's always, we're baptized into Christ, not into Jesus. We're not going to get sidetracked. Were, at that point in time, baptized into his death. That would be his physical death. How do you know? Next verse. Therefore, we were co-buried. On the cross, when he died spiritually, that's why we spent all that time with it. When he died spiritually on the cross, he wasn't buried. But when he's buried, that's his physical death. That means when we get to the 11th chapter, we have to count ourselves to be physically dead. I'm going to tell you straight out, if you count yourself to be spiritually dead, then you have no divine enabling to do anything. Well, death means separation. Spiritual life means an active relationship with God. You don't ever want to count that as dead, although you are, in a sense, when you're carnal, when we are carnal. Okay, that we're baptized in Christ Jesus, last part of verse 3, we're baptized or dunked into his physical death. Therefore, we were co-buried with him by the previously mentioned baptism. Now remember, God the Holy Spirit baptizes us into Christ. Now a whole bunch of things are going to happen as a result of that in God the Father's mind. That's what we call reckoning or imputation. Did I really die on the cross? Well, no. There's a song, the beloved Johnny Cash went to the Holy Lands. The Carter family is involved with. We're a very religious bunch of people. He went to the Holy Lands, and there's a song called "Were You There?" And he had to make it relative, so he made up the. I think he made this up, but I don't know. That the "Were You There When They Crucified My Lord?" That is somebody singing to God's Christ's robe that they fought over. No, I wasn't there. The answer to the "Were You There When They Crucified My Lord?" The answer to that question is no, I wasn't. But the benefits of that burial are counted to me in God the Father's mind. So I wasn't there. This is so important. I wasn't there on the cross. There's songs that say that. But the benefits of the cross are counted to me in real time now by the Father because the Holy Spirit baptizes me into Christ. Got it? Now, I want to make another distinction. When we get to the fifth verse, we're going to need this. You will hear, I could give you names, and people much smarter than me, much more eloquent, will say things like, because we're baptized into Christ, we have union with Christ. Sunday school people should say, where's the verse? Union has the idea of equality, or they'll say we're identified with Christ. You've heard that? Where's the verse? What I'm going to show you, and because of the clock, we'll get into it more next week. We are glued or planted in or united to his work, not to his person in baptism. Let me say it again. We'll prove it from Scripture. We are united to his work and benefits by Spirit baptism. We're not united to him, the person. How are we united to Christ, the person? By regeneration, by his indwelling. Keep your finger here. I want to show you the difference. Let's go over to 1 John 5. This is one place we can get it. 5 verse 11 and 12. This is one of the reasons John wrote this epistle. And he's going to talk about his writing. He's going to call it the record or the witness. 1 John 5:11. This is the record or the witness. That's 1 John. That God has given to us eternal life. And this life is in his Son. God the Father's Son. He, having the Son, has the previously mentioned eternal life. So the picture here is that if this is eternal life, and if it's in his Son, you can't get it without having his Son. So when the Son indwells us, we have eternal life. That's our personal relationship with God the Son and Christ. That's Christ in you. That's over in the book of Colossians. However, in the baptism of the Holy Spirit, it's talking about his work. Why? Because it's not a united down here. It's a united in the Father's mind up there. Got it? I hope I'm making that distinction. So, baptized into Christ does not give me unity with the person. It gives me unity with his work. Now watch the switch in verse 4. Therefore, we were co-buried, Romans the 6th chapter and the 4th verse, we were co-buried with him in that baptism. Now, we know baptism is imputation unto his, the previously mentioned, death. Now, the word that is so strong in the original, it has to do with the reason. And it's so that. It's stronger than you get in English. So that, like Christ. Now, does it say, here, you're going to see a change. Like, you see the word like? This is a in the same manner, in the same fashion, in this fashion. Now, like means similarity, but not identity. Do you remember me saying we're not identified by baptism? The word like is similarity, not identity. Like as Christ was raised up from dead ones through the glory of the Father, even so we should order our lifestyle and the newness of life. Now, here's what we're going to be answering next week. What kind of life is this? Because when we look at the word life, is it talking about physical life or spiritual life? Now, and then we're going to get more complicated than that. When it's talking about spiritual life, is it talking about resurrection life or eternal life? What's the clue here? Raised out from among dead ones. That was in the realm of his humanity where he died physically. Therefore, this is talking about resurrection life. I hope I'm not getting too esoteric. Now, what we have here, let's put this together. In God the Father's mind, the benefits of Christ's death are counted to Rich Schaefer. The benefits of Christ's burial, that's going to be important when we get to the 11th verse, are counted to Rich Schaefer. And the reason for that, that's the word that in the second line of verse 4, so that, like Christ, was raised up from the dead, similar to his resurrection, that's resurrection life, even so we should order our lifestyle in a freshness or new quality of life. Let's do it this way. In order to live a Christ-like life, we have to understand what resurrection life is. And it's counted in our mind as so based on Christ's resurrection. Now, when we get to verse 5, I was going to do that today, but we're not going to get there. There's a mistranslation. And what verse 5 is going to say, we are united to his the benefits of his resurrection. And the very fact, and in fact, there's many verses. This will help you with next week. Over, I think we can get it. Over in 2 Timothy, this isn't just in this passage. 2 Timothy 2:12, I think it is. Now, let's see, 2:11. Oh, yeah, 2 Timothy 2:11. This is a faithful saying. For since, this is a since, it's an indicative, since we died with him, together with him, we shall also live with him. So the very fact that God the Father unites us into the work, Christ's work by means of the baptism of the Holy Spirit in his mind is going to have the idea that we can live out our future resurrection now. It's called resurrection life. Hope we didn't get too esoteric there. But we'll get back to that, the fourth verse. Let's just, I feel a little open-ended, but let's look at the fourth verse of the sixth chapter of Romans. Therefore, we were co-buried with Christ by the previously mentioned baptism into the previously mentioned death, in order that, like Christ was raised up, just as sure as Christ was raised up out from among dead ones, the glory, that's God the Father's opinion, to God the Father's opinion, exactly what he wanted, even so, we also should, now this is a potential, order our lifestyle, our word for walk is order the lifestyle in a freshness of life. What we're going to do when we get go through verses 5 through 12, actually 5 through 13 and 14, what we're going to do is, based on the fact of understanding how God the Father looks at us, that should affect how we behave. But how we behave will only be affected by how we line up our mind to how he looks at us. That's called reckoning. That's called reckoning. So next week, Lord willing, and the creeks don't rot. No, not next week. 2 weeks from today, we'll get into the fifth verse back in the fourth verse and the fifth verse of the sixth chapter of Romans. But if you got nothing else, get this. We die physically because Adam sinned. He took when he actually reached up to take the fruit. Christ died physically to pay for that sin. That sin being paid for is attributed to being paid for, that I paid for it in Christ by God the Son. God the Holy Spirit baptizes us into Christ. God the Father says, Rich paid for that sin. I didn't pay for it, but I get the benefits of it. I said that wrong. Rich's sin is paid for, and the reason for that is because at initial salvation, we're baptized into the body of Christ. Our Father, we thank you for your word. We realize that in some points that we stutter and flum around and don't get it as articulately as we should, but we'd ask that those things that are true to the word be impressed on the people's hearts.